This is Slim. Boris Boot and Shoe is the headquarters for your work and safety boots. We have safety toe work boots, waterproof work boots, athletic work shoes, and, well, a whole bunch more to choose from. Come in and get yours today at Boris Boot and Shoe, 36 and Broadway, Quincy.
Yep. From America's number one travel radio show, I'm Robert Carey.
And I'm Mary Carey, saying hello from Spain, and this is your November 8th, our Emerald Travel Minute.
We are coming to you today from the Seaborn Ovation. Yes, we know the election and World Series is creating a real stir back in the U.S. Since October 30th, we've been traveling with a number of show fans over here for the big Let's Go America Tour Mediterranean Cruise 2024. And tomorrow, November 9th, we'll broadcast the two-hour weekend version of our show live from Palma de Mallorca from 10 a.m. to 12 noon Eastern Time.
Our travels have taken us from Rome to Sardinia and Portofino in Italy. We've been to Monaco. In France, it's been Corsica, Cavalier, Sumer, and Set. Today, it's Alicante in Spain. And tomorrow, we'll be in Palma de Mallorca, and we still have Barcelona to come as well. We're going to share a little of all of these areas when you tune into our live national broadcast to one of our now 600 weekly stations across the USA, or use the live stream at rmworldtravel.com. And you can also engage with these travels and connect with us right now on our RM World Travel Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, and X pages.
You know, we are having such a great time on this cruise. Show fans that have traveled with us all having a good time. Look forward to hearing from you and having you tuned in tomorrow with us, folks.
WTAD.
Underway on the Mary Griffith Show. Laura Sievert is here. Always glad to see her with her coffee cup filled with Refreshment Services Pepsi's Harvest Ridge Coffee. That part I love about Laura. The part I don't like so much about her, she has to put it in an Iowa Hawkeyes cup. But you know what? I'm getting over it. it's kind of like the election. You know, I said I'll support whoever wins. So here's my factoid of the day. You no longer can annoy me with your Iowa Hawkeyes memorabilia. I'm over it. Okay?
I will see if that holds.
There are bigger fish to fry in the world than whether I have to deal with this. But we have lots to talk about today, and we have a very good guest sitting in the green room, a professor.
Oh.
So he's going to bump your butt out of here in about 5 minutes. So get to it, girl. First thing we want to talk about is Culver Stockton College, believe it or not, our professors out there from Culver. Crimes of the Heart. I love the stuff they do at the Culver Theater Department. I don't get to see much of it. It's always on a weekend, it seems like, when I can't go. But let's talk about Crimes of the Heart, what it is and when it is. Please, Laura Sievert.
Yeah, audiences really can expect an evening full of humor, but also heartache and reflection. This is a really neat show, and Culver does a great job. I have snuck over for a couple of shows, and they always do a terrific job. You think a school that small maybe would struggle to have these great actors and things, but they've got a lot of great folks putting these on. This is a Pulitzer Prize-winning play by Beth Henley. It's set in Mississippi in the mid-20th century and tells the tragic story of the McGrath sisters, Meg, Babe, and Lenny, who reunite at their grandfather's home after Babe shoots her abusive husband. So it is quite the story. This is not a kid-friendly play.
No. Tony-nominated.
It's
college. It's for the grown-ups.
Right.
There are no children's tickets, but there are grown-up tickets.
Right. And, just supposed to be an exploration of a Southern family's life. But also has some humor, also has some wit and some engaging dialogue with these sisters talking to each other. So I think people are going to really enjoy it. It is $10 for adults, $5 for students, and obviously all that money goes to support Culver's arts and culture programming, which I think is just a terrific way to keep that going.
You know, for a town the size of Canton to have Culver Stockton College adding to their arts repertoire is just fantastic. This is November 8th and November 9th. Friday and Saturday night at 7:30. The Sunday matinee, November 10th, is at 3. It's Crimes of the Heart. You can contact Culver Stockton to get tickets for that or just buy your tickets at the door. Something coming up that I've had Cleve Barkley on my show before, and he's going to be talking about the Battle of the Bulge. It's a history program put on by the Historical Society of Quincy and Adams County. They hold these now at the Senior Citizen Center at 6th and York because it's fully handicap accessible. Cleve Barkley's father was in the Battle of the Bulge, and in Death's Dark Shadow, A Soldier's Story, is what he wrote about his father's experiences there. Laura, please tell us about this, because this, again, Arts Quincy supports history in all of its forms.
Right.
You know, it's not just painting and dance and drama. It is literature and the word and history.
Yeah, it's definitely part of our mission to have the humanities under our umbrella. We have so many great historical organizations here in town. We're doing a lot of work with all of them right now. But these programs from the Historical Society really are well done and well researched, and you're getting access to some folks who are really experts in these areas. This one is happening again Sunday, November 10th. Excuse me, I'm still back in October. November 10th.
My kid. What do you expect from an Iowa grad?
Listen to her.
That pledge didn't last very long, did it?
But it did not. My kid asked me this morning why the Halloween decorations were all down, and I'm like, it's the middle of November, buddy. He goes, what? I said, same. Anyway,
Battle of the Bulls, Sunday 2 o'clock, Quincy Senior Center, World War II story. Wow, this is just...
it'll be a great...
It's fantastic. Yeah. He has... his book is fantastic. He is fantastic. Do not miss this chance to hear about Death's Dark Shadows, a soldier's story surviving the Battle of the Bulge. His father, Harold Barkley, it was a survivor, or there wouldn't be any Cleve. That's how that works. Mm. You can't write a book about how your father was killed in World War II before you were born. That doesn't work.
That doesn't work out.
And now, looking ahead to Saturday, November 16th, I can't wait. It's Music with Meaning, the Quincy Symphony Chorus performance at Salem Church, 9th and State, in the middle of the day, so I can drive home without having to drive in the dark. It's at 2:30 in the afternoon at Salem Church, 9th and State. Can you tell us about the repertoire?
This is, I have to say, this one has been starred on my calendar since they released the season, because it's the 200th anniversary of the Ode to Joy. Of course, a ubiquitous song that...
Is that like Joyful, Joyful, We Adore You?
Are you
God
kidding?
God of mercy. That's it,
oh,
right?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, same song. Yeah.
Well, see, the trouble is, it has so many different lyrics.
Yeah, so many different
because
lyrics.
It's in the public domain now.
I thought
so
you were telling me you didn't know the Ode to Joy. Tired. Okay.
No, I was afraid that maybe... I just wanted to make sure that was it. Indeed.
Da, 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 da,
yes.
Da.
Yeah.
Indeed. Mm-hmm. So it's a
because they're going to do a better rendition.
She made fun of my Hawks and I got real confused. Yes. It's going to be terrific. Laura is not going to sing it. Mary Griffith is going to be in the audience as well. But the entire concert is full of just joyful music. A lot of praise music actually. But it's also celebrating, or commemorating, I guess, the 80th anniversary of D-Day and doing a rendition of the Boogie Woogie Bugle Boy. Along with other meaningful work. So all of this music has a lot of big meaning, and you should definitely attend. Tickets are $18 for adults, $15 for seniors, and, of course, 18 and under are always free for the Quincy Symphony Orchestra events. Get those tickets today at Hy-Vee and Sterhan Jewelers.
Okay, pack the house at Salem Church, 9th and State, on Saturday, November 16th at 2:30. For the wonderful symphony chorus performance. Real quick.
I have real quick.
Hello, Dolly.
Yes.
Tickets are, I'm going tonight. There's still tickets tonight. There's still tickets Thursday night. Friday, Saturday, they're still, it's getting sold out. Sunday matinee is almost sold out. So if you want that, you better call today, 224-3774, okay? They've got somebody standing by. Operators are standing by.
That's right.
Hello, Dolly.
Probably and Sarah is standing by.
If you can go tonight, I'm just telling you, you'll probably get the best seat because tonight has the most available seats. But if you can't, then just call and see what you can happen. It's $20 for students. Senior citizens get in for $22 and adults for $25. They didn't ask me what kind of ticket I wanted, but the other day a guy in Arby's, they called out who got the two classic roast beef? And my back was turned getting sodas. He goes, oh, that real old lady over there. That's her order.
Rough. I wanted to last but not least as well, which is, have you seen this new Arts Quincy magazine?
I have, and it's quite fabulous.
We have it quite fabulous. It must be the most holiday-rific holly jolly cover we've ever
it
done.
It really is. It's quite nauseating.
We took this picture of Jeff Duffy, the teacher at QHS, and I was like, that's going on the cover of the magazine, and then I formulated the rest of it around it. But I just wanted to say there are more than 65 events coming up in the next 2 months. Like, the number of events in the Arts Quincy magazine is stunning even to me. So check it out. You can actually get it if you didn't already get it in online. Arts Quincy magazine, or excuse me, in your mailbox. It is always available online at artsquincy.org for free. You can also pick it up at County Market and Hy-Vee, not County Market, what's it called now? No, it's called
Neiman's,
yeah. 24th Street.
Yeah, it used to be Neiman's 100 years ago, then they changed it to County Market, now they've gone back to Neiman's.
And anyway, we keep them there as well as in the Oakley Lindsay Center, so you can always pick up the hard copies. But check it out, because there is so much to do, it is not even funny, and we also did a lot of shining light on Christmas gifts and things in the arts. So
Arts Quincy membership would be a great Christmas gift.
Oh, yeah.
Real quick before I let you go, and the professor's out there going, if you're this late for my class, you get an F, but Mary Griffith is a grades on the curve. Real quick, there has been a shakeup at the Quincy Museum. Their new director, who's only been there for about 6 months, is leaving. She got a better job. You can't blame her for that. But there's some rumors floating around. What's happening at the Quincy Museum? They brought us Underbrinks yesterday and thanked us for helping them with their fuzzy fur, Colonel Fuzzy Fur. I love that. If your name is Fur, you're going to get the nickname Fuzzy. The Colonel Fuzzy Fur event, and everything's going on as normal at the Quincy Museum, right?
Yeah, the first thing I want to know is why I didn't get any Underbrinks on the way in here. It's already gone.
You can go to the refrigerator and get an Underbrinks. go to our break room.
You know,
they're one of our
Arts Quincy winners, of our best cake decorators in town. You know, Quincy Museum is such a jewel of the Gem City, and I think has a bright future ahead. The director did move on to another job. You know, in the nonprofit industry, I think what it does is shines light on the fact that it is difficult to keep really talented staff. And it has to do with, you know, we have to fundraise our salaries. Every time I get a raise from my board, I think, oh, I got to go find that money. You know, and I got to convince people that I'm worth it. But then a lot of our organizations, like Arts Quincy and like the museum, don't offer any benefits as well. So if we're not in the position to get benefits somewhere else, it can be tough. So I think what it really does is shines a light on kind of an industry-wide difficulty and how important those donors are to keeping the staff that you want running those places. Now, I'm sure that they will hire somebody amazing and that will work with them. They did let me know that the Miracle on Main, the new event, is going forward as scheduled. And we'll just see what happens. I mean, it's a historic, amazing place, and we'll see what's next.
Yeah, I got a note from them, and they said everything was going to go on as normal. So that is really great to hear. Thank you, Laura, for commenting on that, because as we all know, the rumor mill and social media sometimes take over the facts. So these are the facts, and thank you so much. Coming up, we'll talk post-election with our professor from Culver Stockton College, Chad DeWard. He'll be up in about a minute. Thank you. Stay tuned.
If you're 55 or older and ready for a quality, independent living community, Good Samaritan Home is helping to solve the local senior housing crisis. Constructing new duplexes and single-dwelling cottages ready for you. Prepay your lease now. Customize your future cottage. Say goodbye to the hassles of yard work, snow removal, and home maintenance. And say hello to stress-free, independent living. There is limited availability, so call Good Samaritan Home today at 223-8717 or see for yourself at gshq.org.
Protect your family and your assets when you invest in life insurance with the professionals at Maliff Insurance and Financial Services. Many folks find that their life insurance coverage is not adequate for today's world. That's why we need someone we can trust to help us navigate what we need. Someone like Rich, Greg, or JR at Maliff Insurance. Call them today and ask for a free, no-obligation evaluation of your life insurance policies. Maliff Insurance and Financial Services. 217-936-3333.
State Street Bank Trust Services takes the stress out of estate planning. Our experienced and compassionate trust officers work with you to preserve your legacy. Our team approaches each client with a personal touch that goes above and beyond, providing peace of mind that your wishes will be fulfilled. Now's the time to speak with a State Street Bank Trust officer to plan your gift of a lifetime. Today there are choices. Plan better with State Street Bank Trust Services. Member FDIC.
We are back, Talk Radio 930 WTAD. I just met and shook hands for the first time with Professor Chad DeWard from Culver Stockton College. Now, when I invited him on the show,
All I knew about was his fabulous academic credentials. I didn't know too much, but now I just found out he's also a University of Iowa graduate. Get that microphone right up to your face there. You can move the microphone to you. There you go. Yeah,
right.
There you
Perfect.
Go.
Perfect.
So when did you graduate from Iowa?
I didn't graduate from Iowa.
Good.
I'm an Iowa transplant.
Oh, so you grew up in Iowa.
That's correct.
Oh, well, that's okay.
Waterloo, Iowa. But I'm a huge Hawkeye fan.
The
so
University
any,
of Northern Iowa.
Yes. So any disparaging comments I hear about the great Hawkeye State, I take.
Well, you and
personally.
Laura Sievert are just giving me terrible stomach contractions.
I understand there's some grief about the election as well. I may have heard that you're finished with the election.
You've got to get here. Move your microphone so that you're looking at me through the. Move it up the gunner sight, like right like this. There you go. On air, we're doing this. It's because we're running late.
Gotcha.
I think the thing about in my position, maybe your position too. I mean, it is too long. It's too strange. It's not based on any kind of factual information. The political commentary, and it just is nauseating and tiring, and yes, I'm glad it's over. I always said I will always support whoever's elected president of the United States, and frankly, I'm glad we have a clear winner this morning, because I don't think we can go through that again. Pennsylvania got its act together and started counting. I mean, that's their rules, that they can't count their mail-in ballots until the day, and I respect that. That's their state, and that's their way. So, but we knew once that Trump won Pennsylvania, we knew it was over, and that was announced about, this morning. But let's talk about, it's so funny. Okay, Illinois is blue. But if
Deep blue,
but only because of Chicago, Springfield, and a few other, everyone around, Adams County Board has not a single Democrat on it. It is totally Republican.
Right. Yeah.
Almost every elected race is Republican. Incumbents who are Democrats that continue to run are usually unopposed because they're doing a good job. But the minute a Republican challenger comes in, that Republican wins, because everybody in Adams County, if given a choice, is going to push the R lever. Used to be the opposite in Missouri. Everybody pushed the D lever. But those were conservative Harold Volkmer D's. Now it's R all the way.
Right.
I mean, I don't think Jesus Christ could run on the Democratic Party ticket
in
Missouri.
I don't think even the Russian blotters or trollers could shift Republicans to Illinois or turn Missouri blue right
now.
So
we are
so
right across the
amazing.
River. Six blocks and a bridge separates the
that's
bluest
correct.
Of the blue from the reddest of the red.
Right.
I do want to ask you, though, Professor DeWard, about this strange anomaly, which is that this abortion issue on the Missouri ballot to
Close.
Guarantee that that abortion was guaranteed in the Missouri Constitution, it passed.
It
passed, which means to me, and you can make no other reference, I'll let you be the expert, but a lot of people who voted Republican also voted yes.
Yeah, absolutely. And I've spoken to a number of state officials who will remain nameless, who actually favor some exceptions and did not particularly care for that trigger law that went into effect after the Dobbs decision. And this provides them some cover. So, if you look at the Missouri map on the outcome, you see these little specks of red across the state in the urban areas that supported Amendment 3. And it's pretty interesting, as you were talking about how deeply blue Illinois is or how deeply red Missouri is, you see these little spots of more progressive voters, more urban Democrat voters, and they carried the day on Amendment 3 yesterday. And it just, like you said, narrowly passed. I think it was like 51-49. But, here we go. So
here we go. Legalized sports betting. No casino at the Lake of the Ozarks.
No casino. And the minimum wage. Sick days passed.
That passed.
Right.
See, again, now I'm not saying that Republicans don't want people to make a good wage or have benefits, but I'm saying that was, to me, in my old mindset, that's a Democratic issue.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So the fact that...
But that speaks of a bit of a realignment in the Republican Party, too. And so I think that what we saw at the national level also reverberated down ballot to the local level. So we've seen one of the more interesting characteristics of this presidential race has been this perhaps historic realignment of the political parties. We can remember when the Republican Party was viewed as the white-collar corporate party of the wealthy and so on, but Trump has transformed the Republican Party, and we've seen this realignment toward the working class supporting Republicans. I mean, the Republicans still hold on to some of that corporate ancestry or lineage for sure. They haven't given that up. But still, this is just absolutely amazing, this transformation. I haven't seen anything like it. I mean, I'm not old enough to remember the Democratic realignment from Democrat Party to Republican Party in the South, but that's the last one I can think of just this profound shift in party preference. It's amazing.
Yeah, let's talk about that, because the Teamsters refused to endorse a Democrat. And Donald Trump, if you listen to the pundits, won the male vote and the non-college vote, the non-college educated vote, and the kind of the what we consider the blue-collar worker. But unionization has gone so far down in America that only about 13% of workers are even represented by any kind of union. And frankly, most of those work in government.
That's right.
So it's not like the olden days. Mm-hmm. But it's interesting. Donald Trump can stand for tax cuts for the rich, but he can also, as a Republican, say, I want to help the working class.
Right.
It used to be you could only do one or the other. And the Democrats were the working class, supposedly, party, and the Republicans were big rich daddy. And now you go into more detail how Trump has realigned that.
Well, that's part of what we might call like this populist streak in Trump that appeals to the working class. It appeals to fears. It capitalizes on societal cleavages and fear of immigration and immigrants and all these pressures that are put on working class voters. And Trump appeals to that. And he's not alone in this approach. I mean, we're seeing this around the world. Our Western Democratic counterparts are also experiencing this populist revival. They're also seeing economic nationalism. And so, you know, we're part of a larger trend. Plenty of European countries have their own version of populist parties or a Trump who is gaining in popularity and support. And so, you know, we're just part of a larger global effort, I think, among Western democracies. But we feel it clearly, most acutely here. We just went through an amazing presidential race. You ticked off a number of issues with our electoral system. One thing that you left off was the absurd cost involved in this, too. I mean, we're talking, what are we going to be at, $7, $8 billion at the end of the day?
$16 billion.
Well, okay. So, I mean,
I heard $16 billion.
So the total costs are not yet in, but already it is extraordinarily expensive and a little bit disgusting, as a matter of fact.
Well, yeah, because, I mean, $16 billion. Now, let's face it. Think of what that could do. Think of what the people that could help. Think of the streets that could be paved. Canton, Missouri and Quincy, Illinois could be paved in gold. You know, I mean, and it's interesting. Now we have to move forward, and we'll talk about that. We do have to take a break, but I'm so glad you're here. And it's so difficult to discuss this because people are so polarized. But however, I will say this. I talk to a lot of people too who are like, I can't stand Trump, but I can't stand Harris.
Right.
So
Double haters.
I just am going to vote for whoever's the least revolting.
Right. Yep.
Well, okay. That a lot of people feel that way.
Yes, it is.
I'm not so sure that the majority of people didn't feel that way, because you either love Trump or you love the Democratic Party or Harris. And let's face it, she came in a weird path.
She did.
You know,
certainly.
Now, I want you to ponder this, and I'll ask your answer to this when we come back.
All right. Pressure's on.
Could Joe Biden make further history by stepping down early, making Kamala Harris the first woman president of the United States? We'll get his answer right after we check in with the Ursa Farmers Cooperative.
This Star Radio station loves to promote your not-for-profit events free of charge. Send your information to this Star Radio station's website. The Quincy Area Chamber of Commerce Young Professionals Group has a celebrity bartender fundraiser coming up November 20th from 6 to 9 at the Ratskeller in Quincy. The fundraiser is for the United Way's Good News of Christmas campaign. Bartenders with the most tips at the end of the night win, and all their tips are donated directly to the Good News of Christmas. Tickets are available for $25. That gives you 3 specialty cocktails at the Ratskeller. Bring extra cash for bartender tips and for the many silent auction items. Purchase your tickets from the Quincy Area Chamber of Commerce. Go to their website, quincychamber.org. November 20th, 6 to 9, pick out your favorite celebrity bartender and tip them well.
Okay, it's time for our fan field goal kick of the game. This week's contestant already looks like a winner, Jim. He's sporting a Pioneer brand PowerCore Enlist Corn t-shirt. Well, with an advanced combination of exclusive genetics at his side, this should be an easy 3 points. Like three distinct modes of action against above ground pests. All right, here's the kick. It's good! Not bad for a guy in work boots.
Start your best year yet. Visit pioneer.com/nopests.
50 degrees and Bear brings you this report from the IRSA Farmers Cooperative. Lisa's standing by. How do those farm markets look today?
Come to AeroCamp Machine when you need help with machinery repair or when you need help with the making of new parts. AeroCamp's machinists, welders, mechanics, and fabricators have been helping local businesses for 70 years. There's no need to drive over 100 miles to find the largest and best equipped machine shop or to find the largest quantity and variety of new in-stock steel, stainless, and aluminum. AeroCamp's is constantly updating its machines to better take care of our customers' needs. Come visit the 49 skilled craftsmen at AeroCamp Machine, downtown Quincy.
The Quincy Senior Center has immediate openings in their supportive living units. Studio and 1 or 2 bedroom apartments are available. Enjoy 3 meals per day, housekeeping, laundry, and transportation. Rent assistance available. Equal housing opportunity. Stop by for a free tour or call supportive living at the Quincy Senior Center, 639 York Street, Quincy.
Start your day off the right way at Hardee's.
We have new items for our breakfast 2 for $5. You can get a biscuits and gravy, sausage egg, or cinnamon roll. Any two of those for $5. You can't beat a made-from-scratch biscuit here at Hardee's. Sausage egg, biscuits and gravy, or a cinnamon roll. 2 for $5.
Is there any place better for breakfast than Hardee's? Come see for yourself. Hardee's at 30th and Broadway, Quincy.
Hi, it's Andrew Hoiberg from Calcium Products. Rapidly correct and maintain your soil pH with 98G pelletized limestone to protect your fertilizer investment. Applying 98G at 200 pounds per acre provides a 9.4 bushel increase on corn and a 3.1 bushel increase on soybeans. Ask your agronomist about applying 98G pelletized limestone this fall and learn more at calciumproducts.com.
We are back. Talk Radio 930 WTAD. Professor Chad DeWard is my guest today from Culver Stockton College, and I asked him the thought-provoking question before
yes.
we went to break.
Yes, you did.
Could Joe Biden, who stepped aside to let Kamala Harris run, could he now step aside to let her become the first female president, even though she'd only served 2 months? Could that happen?
If listeners could see the grin on your face right now.
No, I
it's just, this is uncharted territory,
yeah,
and we're used to
that.
It'd
be silly if he did
with,
but I mean, you
with
know,
Donald
it
Trump.
Could happen. Yeah.
I mean, who knows the boundaries we might push in these presidential cycles? I will say, I suppose there are. We joked a little bit about scenarios
right.
off the air, but there are some constitutional amendments, 12th, 25th amendments, and such, where the president is incapacitated and the VP is promoted, if you will. But the ship has sailed. And President-elect Trump is the duly elected.
Even he agrees.
Yeah, and that's one thing we avoid this time, right?
Mm-hmm.
Any challenges from the Trump campaign about malfeasance or election interference. We have a decisive victory for Donald Trump and the Republicans in the Senate, House to be determined. And so we don't expect any disputes or challenges to this election outcome. And so there is something positive here for sure. And we talked about the markets skyrocketing this morning. And any way you slice it, there are going to be tens of millions of Americans who are thrilled this morning and tens of millions of Americans who are dejected. So
It's polarized. Yeah. You know, it's funny because I guess it's my age. And I admit I'm older and wiser, but I always laugh. I said, traditionally, I've been associating myself with the Democratic Party,
yeah.
you know, as a youngster, and my family roots are all in the Democratic Party. So I traditionally recognize myself as a Democrat. I have voted for Republicans.
Mm-hmm.
But it's funny because, you know, I'm not in the poor downtrodden part of the Democratic Party. And so Donald Trump ain't going to hurt me none. I mean, personally, it's not going to be bad for Mary Griffith.
Right.
So it's interesting because when you go to the polls, do people vote their own benefit or do they vote a principle? That's very interesting.
I think so. I think it is very interesting. I think this election demonstrated that the economy was top of mind and people voted their pocketbooks. I mean, that was an issue that Harris could not escape. She could not escape the Biden administration's shadow. She could not separate herself. And we could have a conversation about the timing of her entry into the race, the lack of a formal vetted primary for the presidential nomination.
Josh Turner.
Shapiro from Pennsylvania.
That's when
I went to bed finally last night. It was maybe 12:30, 1 o'clock, when the autopsy of the Harris campaign began.
Yeah.
You know, I'm thinking, okay, the writing's on the wall. We've seen what's going on in Pennsylvania. Trump is outperforming benchmarks. I mean, it's looking pretty clear at this point that Harris is going to lose. And so all the commentators are talking about, well, she should have went with Shapiro. They might have carried Pennsylvania. Biden should have gotten out earlier. He swore he was only going to be a one-term transitionary figure, and he stuck around. I mean, so here we go.
Here we go.
And if Harris would have won, we would be having the reverse conversation about the fundamental deficiencies of Donald Trump and his bellicose behavior and his threat to democracy and his hatred of reproductive rights. That's kind of a misstatement, but I think you get where I'm going.
In vitro fertilization, according to him.
Yeah,
and this is the strangest thing.
Well, didn't someone call him welcome or here comes daddy?
Yes.
Well, anyway, in Illinois,
we had a ballot issue.
Yeah.
Should healthcare be required to pay for in vitro fertilization? It passed with like 80% of Illinoisans saying yes to that.
Mm-hmm.
That means the vast majority of people who voted for that, who couldn't possibly need in vitro, that's such a small segment of society, that the vast majority of people said, I'm willing to have my insurance premiums perhaps skyrocket in order that the lady next to me in the cubicle next to me who can't bear children can spend $250,000 to $500,000 trying to conceive a child. Not only that, from an economic point of view, but then, of course, if you're a member of certain religious groups, in vitro fertilization is abortion. You know,
after they
fertilize all those eggs, they only put a few inside you. The rest of them get flushed down the toilet.
That goes back to your question.
Get right on your microphone. You're getting off again.
Oh,
there
here we go.
Turn it so you're looking. There, you can't get off.
Perfect.
There you go.
So we're coming back to your question about principle or pocketbook, right? And oftentimes they can coincide, but sometimes not. And so many voters, I think, I regret anyway, aren't especially issue voters, right, or voting on principle. And I find that very frustrating for certain. I consider myself an issue voter, and I will split the ticket accordingly. I think there are some principles that were not discussed openly, frankly, throughout the election, and we might expect that in any popularity contest. Most particularly, international institutions or universal codes of behavior, those things, or even the debt, right? Financing so many of these promises. These things are just kind of left out of the conversation. And that is very frustrating for me.
Well, a lot of people, unfortunately, are low information voters. Some days I think I'm one of them. I used to be so on top of everything, so on top of it. I knew every issue. I understood every little picadillo. Today I was talking with a friend, even this morning, talking with friends that said, how did the Latinos vote for Trump?
And that's a huge part of this.
Right. And I said, this is my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
People who are of Latino, Mexican, Venezuelan, whatever, you know, Cuban heritage do not like being spit on because people think they're illegal aliens.
Mm-hmm.
They think they're illegal immigrants. They want illegal immigration stopped too. They're glad they got across, but they're not really willing to keep the border open for everybody else.
Right.
Am I right in that?
I think you are, and that speaks to this realignment that we referenced earlier. It also speaks to the blue-collar nature of the Republican Party. And it speaks to a socioeconomic demographic aspect of the Republican Party that Latino population fits into fairly neatly.
Anti-abortion. A lot of Latinos are Catholic.
That's true.
Very strong anti-abortion premise there in the Catholic faith. And if you're an issue voter, I mean, you look at any Catholic publication. I love it. Our bishop always says, now you must use your own conscience to decide how to vote.
Yeah, cover.
But 10 paragraphs later, you know, if you vote for a Democrat, basically, you're going straight to hell. So it's very interesting. I think, you know, issues are interesting, too. I consider myself an issue voter. My problem is I like things on both sides. So I have to pick which issue I think is going to be the best for the overall good, you know, as if I am disdaining this. And that is very difficult.
Absolutely. And it's time consuming for sure to be information literate, to do all the research necessary to feel accomplished when one finishes the ballot. I have that problem every time Missouri adds ballot proposals because I don't have enough time, I think, you know, really to explore.
And this is your job.
And it is my job, yeah, but I'm also really, really keen on international politics, and so I do comparative politics, international studies, foreign policy. That's my area of concentration, and so I
this
spend a lot
radio
of time
station
thinking about
loves
what
to
happens
promote
in Ukraine
our community
and the Middle
and
East
not for
and why that's
event.
Left out of the conversation when we go to the polls, right? And that, that bothers me.
Well, as we continue this conversation, what happens moving forward? The vast majority of Americans will support the American president because that's what we've always done. The new commander-in-chief, the old commander-in-chief, the new president, the old president. We're getting a rerun on Trump, the second time only in U.S. history.
Yeah, Grover Cleveland did it. Yeah.
And so how should he react, I guess, is really my question. He says he's going to bridge the divide. So what's the first thing you think he ought to do to get those who were really blue? I mean, Kamala or nothing. How can he win them over, or is that just impossible?
I'm not sure it's possible. We don't know Trump as
a
great unifier.
He's more
of a disruptor for sure. I mean, I would like some humility in his acceptance speeches and his addresses to the nation, for sure. I think this is the time, of course, to be
conciliatory when Hillary Clinton lost.
He was like, she's
had great service to our country. And
that's right.
You know.
And after the first assassination attempt, he had a moment of humility, I suppose, and conciliation. And I think this is his time to be presidential.
Well,
finally.
A moment of humility, saying that Jesus saved you to be the president, that's not exactly
humility. Well, okay, fine. But the first 10 the first 10 minutes of the convention speech was rather presidential and bipartisan, if you will. And then, you know, he regressed, as he's prone to do. And that's part of the strategy as well. I mean, this is what won him the presidential election in a lot of ways. You know, he is gaslighting, I'm going to say purposefully, and hopefully when he's back in the White House, he understands, well, I can give up that rhetoric now. I can behave more like the President of the United States.
Yes, he could become more presidential.
He could.
The other thing is he's going to have the House, probably, and he's going to have the Senate.
He has the Senate.
It's a Republican stronghold now. And some people say, well, yes, but it is his second term. He can't run again, so he's got to get everything done in the first 2 years.
Right.
He's got to build the wall. He's got to impose tariffs. He's got to
deport 10 million people.
Which is interesting because the stock market picks are saying that if there are private jail, you know, there's private jail corporations, people are saying buy that stock because we don't have enough jails to hold these people. And so these private jails are going to be just filled up. I mean, you know, you can see, this is strange, but Adams County Jail being at overflow capacity.
Right, and all the vacancies in your hotels around town, too. But there's a lot of headwind to this. He's going to get some blowback, not only from human rights organizations, and we don't know how wide the Republican majorities are going to be in the House or the Senate, right? And so it's only two in the Senate right now. It's 52, and there's still some outstanding seats for the Senate.
So it could be 53.
It could be 56.
Yeah.
But I doubt it. Anyway, we don't know what the Republican margin, if there will be a Republican margin in the House. And so there's going to be perhaps some legislative obstacles to what would be the largest law enforcement operation in U.S. history, deporting 10 million people and doing it anytime soon. And so not to mention the business reaction to this. I mean, we are in desperate need of a labor force, don't you think?
Yes.
Yes.
And they're busing them in. I'm not going to say anything more, but
okay.
People are arriving to work
right.
at certain jobs.
I work in the cornfields in Iowa in the summer, and I know firsthand just how important H-2A crews are.
Right. And those are legal.
Those are legal.
Migrants here.
Yeah.
I think that's part of the problem. We have got a problem understanding the difference between legal people here on work visas and illegals. And when you see news footage of people just coming across the border, walking around a fence, no way to stop them, no way to detain them. Somebody said, well, send the National Guard down there. And I said, well, if your son or daughter was serving in the National Guard, would you want them to take an M16 rifle and kill people as they tried to get out of the river? I mean, well, no. I said, well,
no.
Then how do you propose literally we stop them? And I think that's why Donald Trump was wise with his invasion, because
mm-hmm.
we see that unless we're willing to do some very un-American things, like literally kill people trying to cross the border, this is a problem that's going to take a lot more than Donald Trump saying he's going to solve the problem than doing it. But we're out of time. Last commentary, 15 seconds.
Last commentary, 15 seconds. Well,
nobody warned you that I would do this?
No, but here
now
I am.
10.
Now I have 10 seconds. Well, I will say, okay, fine. Yesterday, I think, was an excellent illustration of democracy at work. We have a lot to be proud of in this country. There's a lot of logistics. There's a lot of effort and dedication invested in these demonstrations of the democratic bargain, and so we should be very proud of ourselves for an election that seems to have been processed and resolved with a clear winner.
Okay, thank you. The professor went over time, but that's okay.
Local and national news, sports, weather, and info, 24/7 for 99 years. Talk Radio 930 and FM 103.3, WTAD, Quincy.